start the podcast. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the podcast. No, we didn't ignite it, but we tried to fight it.
This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's heroin-soaked career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. This episode, we'll be discussing Billy's eighth studio album, Nylon Curtain.
I have been struggling to determine for myself where to place Nylon Curtain in the Joel oeuvre, the jewelvre.
He says it's his magnum opus.
Yeah, I know. That's what he says.
I know. And it just doesn't... I'm kind of like, am I listening to the same album he's listening to?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's his best work.
Shall we listen? This is Billy Joel on Sirius XM Radio talking about the Nylon Curtain.
The Nylon Curtain was recorded in 1982. Started to write about some weightier subject matter. Vietnam.
He's growing up.
He is. He's an adult now.
Disappointments in life, the diminishing horizons. This was the Reaganomics era.
Trying to talk about the issues. Okay.
Well, he's having a Springsteen moment.
Yeah.
People were falling through the cracks. I just wanted to address that. It was something I saw happening with friends.
He's always been so socially
even
conscious.
Even myself. And I wanted to use the studio as an instrument. We kind of messed around with recording techniques. Even the approach to writing was different. I was writing in the studio, which is a pretty expensive proposition, and didn't really know sometimes what the nature of the recording was until the final mix was done. We went out on the road and we came back and forth.
Yeah, so I don't know what record he's talking about.
You know, he says
this in lots of interviews. He talks about how like this album was like so experimental and stuff, and it's like it's just a bunch of Billy Joel songs.
But
you
there
know?
Is a harpsichord in the middle of a song here, so I'm going to give him points for experimenting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lesson in how like you know you can get to the same destination by lots of different routes,
mm-hmm.
and so maybe it did feel different to him going into the studio, not knowing what the songs were going to be. You know, making a bunch of squeaky, squawky sounds and then thinking like, and then building songs around them. But like the songs that he comes up with in the end, you're still just like melodies and chords and the same Billy Joel-ish kind of things he always does.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it is. I wouldn't have known that he used the studio
as an
instrument.
Oh, what a pretentious thing to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy.
Well, this album came out September 23rd, 1982. Meg, what else happened in that year of 1982? The year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, Anno Domini, 1982. Epcot theme park opened. Families were disappointed to find out that, unlike in other Disney parks, they had to learn shit here about some fucking fossils.
And some shit.
I didn't pay $50 to learn about fossils. Get back in the car. And we're going to eat in America. It's cheaper. There's no line.
Also in 1982, my parents had me, giving them another human on which to inflict Billy Joel records during the long car rides from Pennsylvania to my grandmother's house in Hicksville.
It's a human. Congratulations.
You had a human.
Angry working-class alcoholics living in a cold climate finally had their moment in the sun when Cheers debuted in 1982.
Sam and Diane, God, you could cut it with a knife.
Right?
Oof.
Gold standard.
Gold standard of a TV relationship until they did it, and then it ruined the whole thing.
It was a whole Dave and Maddie from Moonlighting thing.
I don't know that reference.
You should. It's really good. It's a good show.
Also in 1982, Michael Jackson's Thriller came out, Prince's 1999, The Clash's Combat Rock, Elvis Costello's Imperial Bedroom, John Mellencamp's American Fool, Simon and Garfunkel's Concert in the Park, Duran Duran's Rio, Van Halen's Diver Down, hell, even Paul McCartney's Tug of War, the one with Ebony and Ivory on it. All of these albums better than the Nylon Curtain came out in 1982.
It was a big year for everybody else. 1982 was the year that Billy bought himself a Ouija board so he could rip off John Lennon directly.
A particularly pretentious and derivative year for the Joel.
It really was, but he really used that studio space as an instrument.
As an instrument, yeah. Now, before we move on to the Nylon Curtain, we decided, and when I say we, I mean I unilaterally decided, and you protested, that we wouldn't do a full episode about Songs in the Attic, which is the live album that came in between Glass Houses
and the Nylon Curtain.
And the Nylon Curtain.
Curtain.
The Nylon Curtain.
The Nylon Curtain is number one in Russia. I love you, Billy Joel. Nylon Curtain.
But there was a live album that came out, and it was, how would you describe this live album?
I actually like this live album.
It was very popular for a live album.
It was.
It sold very well.
Yeah.
And it was sort of, I think the premise of it was Joel had these songs that were from, you know, his Joel Vanellia phase.
Right.
And, you know, he had not ever recorded them with his band, with the boys in the band, with Liberty, on the twos and the fours.
Right.
Two and four.
Liberty and Co.
Okay.
Making it good.
Yeah, making it good since 1970, whatever. And, you know, and they had, like, good arrangements of those songs that they were doing, and they were sounding good, and they were like, let's put out a record with some of this older, you know, material with the boys in the band playing it.
Right.
And I think that's great. I think that's nice. But I did go back and listen to this album, and this is a fake live album.
I don't know if it's fake. It's just a bunch of different shows, isn't it?
No, it's okay. So this is a thing that happened a lot, like in the 70s and early 80s, I guess. Although, really, no, it's a thing that happened in the 70s, and Joel, as per usual, is behind, you know, the curve. but like a lot of the really famous live albums of the 70s, like Kiss Alive and Frampton Comes Alive, like, notoriously, they were basically re-recorded in the studio and then just had, like, crowd noise put on top of them. And
wow, that's a fun fact.
Like, in the case of Kiss Alive, it was like they went back and they listened to the tracks and they were like, oh, we don't play well. Like, you know, I mean, it's surprising that we don't play well when we're all cranked up and we're, like, focusing most of our energy on not falling down on our heels.
Right.
And, you know, and spurting blood out of our mouths.
The limitations of glam rock.
And again, we're still really all on crank.
You know? I got crank and I'm in a corset. What the hell do you want?
Exactly, that's right. And they were just like, oh, we don't actually play that well. Let's go and re-record all of these parts, you know?
You know, I wonder why Gwar hasn't had a live album. Maybe it's, you know, the costumes. They can't really.
Gwar, you're going to get nasty tweets now because Gwar probably does have a live album.
I would like to know about it.
And those people are serious.
They are serious.
And if there's Gwar people who also listen to this program, that's not a demo. That's not that. That Venn diagram has people that you don't want in your life.
That overlap is probably a little scary.
Yeah. And so I'm just listening to this, and, like, I'm sure that this is not as fake as, like, a lot of other live albums of the time, you know? But there's, like, so, okay, Say Goodbye, Heather. Listen to this. That's a lot of crowd noise.
That is a lot of crowd noise.
And notice how they just keep applauding and yelling at a constant volume all the way through the song. Listen to that. Audiences don't do that, okay? That's just not how it works at a show.
Yeah, they continue to cheer even though the song is
playing. The
song
has started, yeah,
right.
Exactly. And
yeah.
It's not like he's the Beatles, okay? And they're just like, oh my God, it's Billy Joel! I'm gonna faint!
So handsome!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's times where it's just like, it's just clearly just brought up in the mix. Like, it's, you can hear the fader riding up on the crowd noise. Here, listen. So there's that. And then there's clear overdubs. So listen to this. Here's Everybody Loves You Now. That high harmony is definitely Billy Joel. Okay? You heard it, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Billy, why you gotta lie?
Why you gotta lie, Billy?
Why you gotta lie?
Why you gotta lie?
Come on.
God. You know, you figure growing up in the old neighborhood, you learn certain values.
Right. Integrity.
Integrity. Okay. You know.
Really?
That's right. When you're shivving Puerto Ricans in the side every day, you learn loyalty.
With Dr. Agusia dancing behind you, like the Jets. And
I like that he's dancing now.
Yeah, he is.
We've really advanced this.
We have. We've taken the character.
So,
and
by the way, I talked to him on the phone on Sunday. And he wanted to know like how it went, and I said it went fine. You were great, and you know, and now the you know you shivving a Puerto Rican has become a running joke on the program. And he's just like, no, the Puerto Rican shivved me. And we were on FaceTime, and he shows me he tries to show me the scar on his arm, and I didn't see anything, by the way. And like he's upset about this now.
He was the victim.
He was the victim.
He was the victim. Sorry, Dr. Dancing Ragusa.
Motorcycle solo! Vroom. Vroom. Vroom, 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 vroom,
number one jam that came off of this album was Allentown. Lead off track. I mean, it is classic Joel. Like, if somebody wanted to, you know, send Joel to space, they would send this one song, Billy singing this one song.
Like, personally, you would send him up there and say, Billy, listen, we're gonna send you up in the rocket, and we just need you to keep singing the song.
Just keep singing the song.
And just keep singing the song.
And just keep singing the song. That is your job.
That's your job.
In case you run into any aliens and we want them to know what we're about.
Exactly.
Just keep singing the song in a loop.
Because you don't know if the aliens are going to be able to play your compact disc.
Right?
You know.
So we need a live. And he's so good live.
He's so
or
good
is
live.
He?
Oh, it could or be overdubbed.
It could be overdubbed.
Yeah.
It might start a war. Anyway, with the aliens, Billy. So fun fact about Allentown was it started as Levittown.
Yes.
And it was something like, he talks about this in an interview, that he started, you know, playing around with this idea of Levittown, and nothing really happens in Levittown.
Levittown is another suburb in Long Island near Hicksville.
Near Hicksville. Yeah. And he spent some time in Lehigh Valley and
Pennsylvania,
and he changed to Allentown. And it's interesting to go from, you know, Levittown, nothing goes on, it's a boring dump, to Allentown, you know, depression, Reaganomics. How does that, just based on rhymes, like that just doesn't.
Well, so there's this term that like Nashville singers, like not singer song, like Nashville songwriters use a lot. They talk about the phonetics of a lyric.
Right.
So like basically how the words sound just aesthetically, totally apart from their meaning. Right. And that's like something that those, you know, pros who knock out, you know, top 20 country hits, mm-hmm. like think about phonetics a lot. And I think that Billy, to his credit, is someone who thinks about phonetics a lot, which is why he called James James and not Gregory.
I love Gregory. That's such a great song.
Can you do it again?
Gregory, why you gotta read your books, Gregory?
And by the way, this next second song on the record that we're going to talk about is Laura.
Oh.
Laura.
Laura.
And it's about a real person whose name is not Laura.
Her name is not Laura.
Yeah.
It is not.
But Laura, God, that is a name that you can sing with some disdain behind it.
Laura. Oh,
Laura.
Laura.
God, why you got to rip me off,
what?
Laura?
Laura.
Yeah.
Stop calling me in the middle of the night, Laura.
So I think that to his credit, Joel is a songwriter who thinks about phonetics. But the fact that he thinks about phonetics so much ends up revealing how little he has to say. Because basically he gets a lyric that sounds good with the melody that he's written. He's like, okay, now I have to make up some thoughts and some feelings
right.
to match the sound of this word and
right.
the melody of this line. And because I'm kind of basically a pretty shallow person with not much personality,
mm-hmm.
I have to... You know, I just got to come up with something.
He's kind of workmanlike. He's not a poet.
No, he's, and to his credit, he'd probably be the first person to say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he's, you know. So anyway, so he's like, why not just, you know, completely forever tar this perfectly lovely city of 110,000 people.
That really has nothing to do
with the
steel
industry. Yeah, exactly. It was neighboring Bethlehem that had the steel industry.
Right.
Right. and let's just, like, you know, basically make them the poster child for Rust Belt decline forever.
Right.
Because Allentown sounds good with my little melody that I've written.
Right, exactly. It rhymes better.
Right, it rhymes better. And people, you know, so I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm from State College, which is like a posh college town, but like
fancy.
It's all fancy.
Oh, so fancy.
But I grew up in the woods, like far away from there, and I, like, around poor people. And I spent,
are you acknowledging your privilege?
I was the only kid in my neighborhood that didn't have a four-wheeler, okay?
Aww.
All right? Which is an indication of my privilege, not the opposite.
Okay.
No.
Is that a good thing?
No, yeah, you didn't, you know.
I don't know how you woods people go. I don't know what
four-wheelers,
the social standard is.
Four-wheelers, not an indicator of social status. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I spent a lot of time in Bellefonte, which is a city nearby that's, like, you know, a really, you know, you want to see some empty mill buildings, go to Bellefonte, Tyrone, Williamsport. Basically places where I had girlfriends to go visit. You know, lots and lots of, like, empty mill buildings. I definitely was steeped in that culture. And so I will confess that, like, this song actually really does resonate with me on a kind of an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Joel acting. It's Joel performing something. It's never really Joel, except when he's hating on women. That's the only time that I feel like we're getting the authentic Joel.
You don't think any of this is organic?
No, I don't think that any of this is organic. Shall we listen to the song?
Let's listen to it.
Shall we watch the video?
Yes, please.
Okay. Train whistle, using that studio as an instrument.
He did that in glass houses too. Like,
yeah, open with the sound effects, yep, mm-hmm. the crashing window.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we're living here in Allentown.
Why are you using that voice?
This is my karaoke jam.
Or is it?
Uh huh. Couple of beers, and all of a sudden I feel, you know, universal understanding with all humanity, and I want to sing about people losing their jobs who work at a steel mill. Because that's, I understand that.
Oh my God, I just realized something.
What?
This is a song about Joel making America great again.
Do it, Joel. Do it.
like seriously? He's just being all nostalgic back for
right.
the days when everyone was white and and none of the women worked.
Right.
Gotta make America great again,
yeah,
Joel.
Gotta do it.
Joel 82, make America great again. Who's his running mate?
Daryl Hall.
Joel Hall?
Joel Hall.
Joel
82.
Hall. That sounds like the name of, like, a political scandal. The Joel Hall scandal of 82.
Sex, murder, music.
In video, a couple of things to remark on. First of all, we have Joel playing the guitar again, like he knows how to play the guitar.
Yeah, but like, it looks so
awkward and wrong on
him.
Yeah, he's just like...
He may as well be playing a harp strapped to him. I mean, like, right. It doesn't look right.
He's also, I think, supposed to be playing a bum, right? He's like a bum who's
yeah.
like on the bench.
I think
you know?
He's supposed to be like the narrator who is like omniscient.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
So this is one of two Joel videos where he's playing a bum. The other one being, it's the one about suicide.
Yes. Second Wind.
Second Wind. Yeah, exactly. Also playing a magical bum.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that what that is like video directors, like, especially in the very image conscious 80s, like video directors taking a look at Billy Joel and being like, God, what do I do with this guy? Like, I can't.
Smear some dirt on him.
He's, you know, he's no Duran Duran, this guy. All right. I think I can just have him play a hobo.
Right. If I put a Hugo Boss suit on him, he's still going to look like Billy Joel. I may as well put a pork pie hat on him. And make him look like he's been riding the rails.
Oh, wait. Calling card is coming. Melodic calling card. Wait for it. Oh, damn it. They skip it this time around. Well, that's when he normally goes, oh, 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 which is, again, his, like, thing.
Right,
is you've
yeah.
just been rocked by Joel.
You've just been rocked by Joel. Take an aspirin.
You're going to want to apply some pressure to that. I always thought their guitar solo wasn't mixed very well. The whole record doesn't sound very good to me, like the sonic quality of it.
Yeah.
And I was reading that it was a full digital recording. So they probably recorded to like DAT tape, digital tape, and mm-hmm. then they mixed it in a computer. And it was like, this was around the same time that like, I think Peter Gabriel did the same thing with his third album, the Melty Face one.
Right.
The one with Shock the Monkey on it.
Oh,
which is a great song.
Oh, it's a great song, but that video gave me nightmares when I was little.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, we'll
terrifying.
Talk about how this video gives you nightmares in a second. But yeah, so like that's another one where like it was a full digital recording and really the technology was not ready for it.
Yeah.
And you just can hear it. It just sounds kind of claustrophobic, this record to me, sonically.
Mm. It's the whole thing just sounds, when I heard in that interview that he thinks it's his greatest work, Billy, yeah. No.
Not
it's
true.
It's not. It's not true.
Okay. The Vidya.
The Vidya.
The Vidya. Let's, we've not remarked on like the most obvious thing to say about this video yet.
Yes.
Do you want to say what it is?
There are some naked men in this video. There are some handsome strapping men.
Engaging in manual labor.
And in showers.
And let's hear what fat, sad, old period Joel has to say about that. This is from his complete
Uncle
albums
Billy,
collection
what are you
thing.
Doing? Why are you talking this?
This is when he's in front of the boats again.
That's the gayest video. I just realized, I was watching it the other day, the director was Russell Mulcahy, a terrifically talented director.
Very talented.
Very talented.
But he had an opportunity to get a bunch of
these people, they're very talented.
They're so sophisticated.
I didn't think about it. Okay, they're in the army, they're in a factory, they're taking a shower. And there's a lot of this through the video. I just saw it recently. There's another bunch of naked guys. And there's another bunch of naked guys. I didn't pick up on it back then, but man, that's a gay video.
And I think it adds to it. I think it makes it even better.
We need to look at that interview clip as a text unto itself.
Do we
here.
Need to unpack that?
We need to do some textual analysis here, okay? So first of all, you know, when did Billy Joel become drunk uncle?
Right, exactly. So you're just sort of like, no, stop talking, no!
Like, when you get that old and rich, is there no one around anymore to say, Billy, you can't talk like that.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. I could just be like, say that to my face, and he smushes that guy's face away from him. Well, I can say what I want, I'm Joel.
I guess.
But no, seriously, that,
and then,
why would you say that?
And then there's also what he said at the end, that he didn't pick up on it at the time.
Right. That.
Which also, how dim do you have to be? Everyone else picked up on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely everyone.
You know, he was spending a lot of time in the studio. Maybe it just
I was using the studio as an instrument, you know?
He was busy doing his face as an instrument, and he completely, you know, didn't register all the naked guys.
Well, I just don't see guys that way. Maybe that's what he would say.
Right.
You know,
right.
I just don't see it.
I just don't see it.
You know?
You know, it's just guys working in the army.
If I did, you know, I would be the first to say it, okay? I wouldn't be shy about it, you know, but I guess I just...
My cousin's gay.
Yeah, I've got a gay cousin.
I've got a gay cousin. He's
Frankie.
Great.
Frankie. From the old neighborhood.
Frankie from the neighborhood.
Yeah, where does he work now?
He works at a florist. I bet just something very stereotypical.
Very stereotypical.
Very stereotypical. Because they are hemmed in by conventions. Even gay conventions.
Gay conventions are the best conventions. They have great swag.
Oh, man. You want to go to a gay convention.
I was a fame man like my father was before. Can't make a living as a fame man anymore. There ain't much future for a man who works the sea. There ain't no island left for islanders like me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
All right, track two on the old nylon curtain.
Track two
is
Laura.
I feel pretty comfortable taxonomizing this as a disdain song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so disdainful. I had to do some research on it. And apparently it's not a song about like relationship. It's a song about a relative you can't shake.
Yes. And I did some Googling.
Googling.
And he does have a sister. Named
Laura.
No, like Josephine or Jolene or something like that.
Yeah.
Jolene Joel. I don't think that's it.
Wilhelmina.
Yeah, it's something that doesn't sing as well as Laura.
These careless fingers, they get caught in her
vice.
You know, this is so, like, it makes me angry that it's so derivative.
Yeah, so we haven't even mentioned yet that this, almost this whole record is Beatles ripoff.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good song, but...
Is it a good song?
I like this song, but I wish...
Oh, wow, wow.
I kind of want to be like, Billy, why do you got to pretend to be other people?
Yeah, I mean, and it's not... He's done lots of little nods to Beatles so far in the Jouvre.
But this is just overt.
But this, like, half of the songs on this album are just, like, you know, style studies in the style of John Lennon.
Right.
And it's really kind of weird.
Like, it is.
And it's weird that he doesn't talk about that in any of his interviews about this album.
What's even stranger that I find is that he hasn't... He's really far in his career, and he's made a ton of money, and he's really popular at this time, and he's still doing this. Like, he's still, like, leaning heavily on this crutch of imitation and, you know, just sort of ripping off. And it's, if you really think about it, it's kind of depressing.
I actually had a thought about this in the shower this morning.
Thinking about Joel.
That's right. I was showering with all these other hot men
right.
after we had just gotten done...
Your
in the anthracite mines, you know, and we were washing the black soot off of each other.
It's camaraderie.
Yeah, it's how we bond,
right?
You know, and I don't really care if you judge
thing.
Us for it. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, so
anyway,
I was in the shower this morning and I was thinking about to my own illustrious songwriting career. and in all seriousness, I mean, it's like I think that like. You know, when I wrote good music, it was because it would often came through the same process, which was that, like, I would hear something that I really liked and think, damn, I wish I had written that. And then I would try to rip it off. But because I'm not very talented, because I wasn't very skillful, like, I would fail at trying to imitate the thing because I just wouldn't have the facility to recreate the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... the result would be that I would end up coming up with something else that was cool that sounded like me.
Oh, good.
Because
okay.
I was like the failure worked in my advantage. Basically, I sort of was able to kind of ride the wave of the imitation, and because I sucked too much to get to where I wanted to go, I'd end up someplace else that would sound like me because I wasn't skilled enough to sound like anyone else.
Right. Rather than like a hint of somebody else.
Right.
Rather than
exactly, and. That's a place where, oh god damn it.
Yeah.
Fucking George Harrison guitar solo.
Yeah. And I kind of am mad at myself for liking this song.
I'm mad at you too. So what I was saying, for Joel, it's kind of the opposite thing,
yes.
which is that he's so skilled
mm-hmm.
that he, when he sits down to try to, you know, be inspired by something, he knows exactly how to recreate it.
Right.
I mean, in every minute technical detail, not just the arrangements and like the superficial stuff, but the, you know, the chord structures, the harmonies, everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good that he just ends up with the spitting image of the thing that he was inspired by.
Right, right. And it's... He never quite... Sometimes you get these, like, little hints of who he actually is. But I think that maybe he has spent too much time studying other people, or he's been too exposed, or he loves music too much that he needs has this wide variety. And, you know, like we said, he's easily influenced. And that's to his detriment, because he never quite trusts his Joel-ness that, you know, you find on Keep It To Yourself, It's My Life.
Or on one of the upcoming songs on this record, which I do think is probably the best Joel song. It's a little tune I like to call... Pressure! You didn't do it with me. You got to do it with
again.
Me. Come on.
Okay.
Pressure!
Gonna fall into some backing beat up from a couch!
How did he do that night after night?
Pressure!
I did it once.
Whoa, for the longest time. Whoa,
We'd like to thank our first sponsor today, New York's all-news radio station, 1010 Winds. Mm. 1010 Winds. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you something to listen to that's not always Billy Joel records on this damn car ride to your grandmother's house. Dad!
There's one thing I learned on those car rides.
Yeah?
It's that you don't want to be going under a bridge, like driving under a bridge, and not realize it. Okay? Okay? Because think about what could happen if you're passing underneath a bridge, right? And you don't realize that. I mean, you could like pull the car up and drive up into the bridge or something, right? I mean, or you could set the car on fire, not realizing that like it would be a while before you could escape. Or, you know, you want to know when you're going under a bridge. And So that's why you want to be listening to AM radio in New York City.
Exactly.
Okay. So that it's just like, okay. You know, and that's just, it's your bridge warning, you know.
What's even better, the tunnels.
The tunnels.
When you go under the bay or the harbor.
The old whatever, bay tunnel.
Whatever,
wow.
Whatever body of water it is that you live by.
Boy, and the traffic on that bay tunnel again. God.
And then you lose the radio station, and then your father says to you, we're 3 miles under the ocean.
Yes.
Or whatever. And
exactly.
You're like, okay, now I'm a little scared.
Yes. Palms are sweating. Thanks, Dad.
Palms are sweating.
Right.
Thanks.
Okay.
Now I feel trapped.
Indeed.
Indeed. So 1010 Radio.
1010 Winds Radio. We really want to appreciate and thank them for their support. It's a little weird for a radio station to be sponsoring a podcast, like a competing media, but you know, that's just how great they are.
That's how great they are. And mm-hmm. That's, you know, the new advertising model.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is
sponsor the people who are going to kill you.
Because maybe they'll give you a job later.
Mm. 1010 Winds.
1010
Call
Winds.
Us.
Hey, hey.
You gonna win? You gonna join the Joel
revolution? The Joel.
The Joel Empire. The Joel Empire.
Put that on a T-shirt.
Mm. And the waitress is practicing politics as the businessman slowly gets stoned. Yes, they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone.
Megaleg, you mentioned earlier that Joel was making a lot of money at this stage.
He was making a lot of bank.
Maybe, but not necessarily for Joel. Okay. Mm. Shall we return to the 2020 vidya from last episode?
That son of a bitch,
son of
Artie.
A bitch, Artie. All right. This is from the end of that 2020 thing. And again, awesome example of these, like, you know, network TV news magazine producers, you know, sounding all happy schmappy and non-controversial, but knowing exactly what they're doing in the editing room.
Yeah, exactly.
When they ended the whole doc with this.
Billy Joel is the product of a close-knit team now. It's like a family business. His wife, Elizabeth, is also his manager, and his concerts are produced by a loyal group of musicians and technicians. It's a small select group today. In fact, there's only one reminder of the early days. The man who first set Billy Joel's music to records and who still receives about 25 cents from every album sold.
They sell lots of records because he makes great music worldwide, and it just keeps coming in.
Oh,
I don't get the phone call 4 o'clock in the morning. The truck broke down. Somebody broke in my room. My heart is breaking. My girlfriend left me. I just get the check. You know?
I'm just a dirtbag. I'm just a cautionary tale. I'm the man who meets you at the bus stop when you come to Los Angeles when you're 15. I'm Artie Fripp. I am a jerk.
Is that his name?
Artie Fripp.
I think it's Rip.
Rip is...
Rip. He'll rip you off. Yeah.
He'll rip you off.
Exactly.
He'll rip you off.
How... What possesses a man... I mean, I know what possesses a man. It's cocaine. You know, what possesses a man to look into a television camera and say that?
Right.
Like you're getting so much money for doing absolutely nothing, okay?
Yeah.
You're getting this massive cut of every album for 10 albums.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shut up and lay low.
Right.
Okay? Do not rock the boat.
Don't call Hugh Downs and say, I'd like to get in on that interview. I've got some stories.
I know.
No.
I've been working on my hair. All right. I got the curls on the side that are super incongruous with the slicked back widow's peak in the middle. I feel like I'm ready for my close-up.
Right, right.
Now, just get me on camera so that I can say some shit mm-hmm. that's going to make Joel want to sue me. Okay?
Because every story needs a villain, and Artie is ours.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Jump the gun.
Oh, sorry. Let's do it.
I don't think it comes for a while. Here it comes. Jesus, that lick is great.
It's really good.
So this is, to me, it's like everything that really is great about Joel is in this song. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've got that like very classical, very Beethovenian kind of theme at the beginning that is just, it's really good. That's like a really great, memorable, you know, kind of classical theme. And then listen to this. I'll bring it back. And then listen to the pre-chorus. The pre-chorus is the best fucking part.
You're just like everybody else. Pressure.
Major goes to minor. Drums go to double time. And you didn't even notice that it happened. I love that transition. I think that is so cool. And I bet you that's Liberty's idea. Because Liberty, I'm going to attribute all the best ideas to Liberty. Here comes
pressure!
You've got a really overly dramatically, you know, delivered line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. Everything you want from Joel is here.
And when he wrote this song, it didn't have, he was writing the album and someone said to him, you know, wow, you're under a lot of pressure. He's like, yeah, I am. But write a song about it. Like, it doesn't have an epic backstory. It's simple. It's just sort of a throwaway story. And he came up with one of his best songs.
Yeah, yeah. Other thing that this song has is gratuitous New York reference.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. But I'm just going to agree with you.
Okay, I'll fast forward.
Oh, yeah. Baseball.
No. Oh, there is a baseball reference. Yeah. Yes, there's the baseball. Because all the kids from the old neighborhood, they played stickball. Right. And they all watched those New York Yankees.
They did. No, they didn't watch the Yankees. They watched the Mets.
The Mets?
The Mets.
Why?
I think that people from Long Island like the Mets.
Because they're losers?
They're scrappy.
They're scrappy.
Losers, they're scrappy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, so it's over here. Oh, here it is, here it is.
All your life is Channel 13. Sesame
yeah?
Street.
Yeah? Channel 13 is WNET in New York. It's a PBS station in New York.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Oh, I'll tell you what it means.
There was a lot in the early 80s, there was a lot of videos that were all about the subconscious and, you know, like Shock the Monkey and
yeah.
this song. And then there was, another song by Yes.
Yeah.
And so they all were just these sort of terrifying
nightmare videos.
Nightmare videos.
Yeah.
If you like started watching them when you were little, like myself, it was kind of traumatic.
There is an explanation for that.
Yeah.
Cocaine. Okay.
You know, they say he's 29 in this.
He's not. Jesus Christ.
He's like, he's the oldest 29-year-old.
Oh, my God. He looks like a grandfather.
He does.
You know?
I mean,
you know, not like an old grizzled grandfather, but like the kind of grandfather who had kids really early and he wasn't a super good father, so his kids had kids really early.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of grandfather that he looks like.
Yeah, yeah. The one when you find out he's a grandfather, you're like, what?
Yet another classic Joel element in this song, talking down to people as though, like, it's telling them that they're naive and they don't know what they're talking about. And it's probably a woman that he's talking to. Right?
Pressure! I'm sure you have some cosmic rationale. But here you are,
with your face and your Peter Pan advice.
I love that
oh,
line.
Oh, God. Disdain, overly enunciated consonants and plosives. Everything that you want in a Joel is right here. Jesus, it's so good.
Do you think that Billy's like the type of guy who was like, not say if anything bothered him, and he kind of gets bullied, but then he goes up to his room and he writes poetry in his like little journal, and he's like, I'll show them all one day.
Is that what you think he is?
I think
is that what Joel means to you?
That's what Joel means to me.
Okay. That's what Joel means to me. Bring.
Everybody's talking about the new sound funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
I take a deep breath before all these songs, like they're going to be terrible, but it's wrong. I love them all.
Tell people what this song is.
I love them all. This is Goodnight Saigon.
We're going to listen to the Goodnight Saigon.
We're going to listen to the Goodnight Saigon. He's got, again, there is a lot of sound effects.
Mm. So he's really using the studio as an instrument.
He really was. He was really making the most of that whole space.
Exactly. He's really exploring the space.
He was really
exploring the space. I want you to explore the space, Billy, with that. With that helicopter sound effect.
See, now I imagine like Liberty with a pair of bongos just staring in front of a wall, like in a corner, just be like exploring the space.
Just, like, oh, cocaine, you know?
Cocaine, I mean, right? That's why making this was so expensive.
Is this song ever going to start? I started playing this a while ago.
You did.
Oh, there it
is.
Oh,
see? You need to have the dramatic pause beforehand.
Yeah, right. I remember hearing that in the car when I was a little kid and thinking that it was like a ray gun.
Yeah, I could see.
Like, that sounded like a sound effect from that Flash Gordon movie with right. The Queen soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know.
Flash Gordon's a huge...
Deploy War Rocket Ajax! Gordon's alive! Alive! Alive!
We met as soulmates on Paris.
So I think this is kind of seen by people as like the height of his songwriting, of the story song.
People are saying.
I got my ear to the ground.
That this is the height. I mean, it's not me saying it, but like, okay.
People are saying currently that this is the apex of Billy's songwriting career.
Well, once again, we have Joel being like, okay, I don't have a personality or anything interesting to say, so I need to mine someone else's pain, and I'm going to write a song about Vietnam veterans.
Okay, so I'm going to argue the opposite point here. So what if it
you're going to say this song is not about Vietnam veterans.
This song is about Vietnam veterans.
You're
going to
say that this song is about cocaine.
Derivative. It's the empathy an artist needs to have.
Mm.
In order to create art, because you're not going to have everything happen to you personally.
No, I understand that principle. I get it.
Why get a hate on Billy's big heart?
Because it seems insincere to me. I don't think that he has a big heart. I think he just needed something for a song.
So you don't think he's doing this as a service? You think he's doing it for self-aggrandizement?
Yes, I do. And there's a particularly egregious example of that coming in a future record with a little song called Down on the Down Easter Elixir or something. Yes. And we will talk about that.
I love that song.
I will get more angry about Joel with that than anything previously.
That's such a great song.
Jesus Christ with all of my mind.
I actually really like the verses.
We had no cameras to shoot the landscape. We passed the hash.
All goes down to hell.
Oh, it's a great song.
Did you see when the Kennedy Center Honors thing, when he got in, you know, he got his whatever.
I didn't.
His Kennedy Center Honor. And
what would that be like? What's the what's the name of that? Like the Kenny or?
The Kenny. When he got his Kenny. And okay, so first of all, guess who sang this song there?
Probably, okay.
Okay, imagine a person who could deliver an even, if it was possible to do an even
Garth
less
Brooks.
Subtle reading,
yes,
of this song.
He's a huge Joel fan.
Is Garth Brooks,
he's,
yes.
He's a huge Joel fan.
So it was just like, sharp as knives, 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 knives.
And then did somebody come with like a t-shirt cannon? And they were like, boom!
Yeah, boom! No. Yeah, so Garth Brooks sang the song, and then when they got to the big refrain, which again, this is not, you wouldn't hear this as being the most explicitly Beatles derivative song on the album, but I really think that he was just trying to come up with something that was going to be like the end of Hey Jude, like a big refrain that everyone just sings out, you know, ad infinitum. So anyway, when the big refrain comes in, they freaking, at the Kennedy Center Honors, at the Kennys, they trot out all of these, like, old veterans and have them stand there, like, all these super old dudes, and, like, they stand hand in hand, and they're just like, I don't know where I am, and I'm mouthing the words to something. They put me on a bus, and I thought that we were gonna go to the slots, but they brought me here instead, and now there's a big light in my face.
Oh, they only, yeah, trot out the veterans for the big things.
It was just really, really exploitative, I thought. Yeah. And speaks to what I find the song exploitative.
Oh, you know, that's a really good point. I disagree,
no,
though. No, I could see why that
is. Tell me why I'm wrong. It's okay.
I appreciate your opinion, but you're wrong, because there, not all art is exploitative. I mean...
Yes, that's.
But
thank you for the truism. That's like saying, no, like, that's like, no, saying not all at, things are a table.
No, but you could look at all art as exploitative if you took that mindset. That, you know, what did Picasso know about bullfighting? What does anybody know about anything that they create anything about? You don't really know about it. You just sort of kind of take bits and pieces, and it's going to be imperfect. But it's still good, and it's still a noble endeavor to at least try to understand somebody.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't, helicopter sound effect.
Okay, so what piece of art?
Flash! Savior of the universe! Can we listen to that? Can we just stop it with this stupid exercise and just start listening to Queen records? That would really make me happy.
Okay, we can do a Queen podcast after this one.
Sponsors.
Ooh, so many different sponsors. We can go international.
Yeah.
Latex.
Mustache cream.
Yeah, we could do like bodysuits.
Yep.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. Catholic girls start much too late. We come sound to fate. Might as well be the one.
We want to be sure to thank our second sponsor on today's program, Fat Fredo's Web Design over in Oyster Bay. When you want classy web pages, you go to Fat Fredo.
So you know that I like to go down to Jones Beach and pick up some rocks. And I like to decorate these rocks. I like to paint them, put some googly eyes on them.
I mean, who doesn't?
maybe put some pipe cleaners on those. Talking to my friend, Nikki, and she said, you're going to want... Those are great. You could sell those. So, I mean... I needed a website to sell them, so I called Fredo, who's not fat anymore, actually. He got the lap band surgery, but he had the sign, he had his cards up, so he still goes by Fat Fredo. Mm. So he set me up with this great web page. The first page, when you look, you open it, it's a leopard. I mean,
it's a leopard.
And
a leopard.
Wow. And you hear the leopard roar. And then he just sort of saw that in me. He knew I was a leopard. And he showed that in my webpage.
Well, I'll pull it up. It's, let's see, geocities.com /tilde
/rock people.
Rock people.
Rock people.
Are these the Jones Beach rocks that have the AIDS?
They do. No, right. No. I make sure that they are AIDS free. I don't wanna start a pandemic or anything.
So before people think that I'm making some really offensive joke, All right. There was a time when Jones Beach had like, well, it's in the song, right? Hypodermics on the shore. Right?
Do these rocks have AIDS? Now you're just making shit up.
You know, you're the one, Megaleg, who like, you're writing all these jokes for the program that are like fat jokes, no fatty jokes.
I didn't know what else to say.
Well, I'm living here in Allentown.
It's hard to keep a good man down, but I won't be dead enough today.
Let's talk briefly about some of the deep cuts on this here record.
Oh, there are some good ones.
It's really just like, it's just more Beatles.
It is very much more Beatles. It's so more Beatles.
Scandinavian Skies.
Which apparently is about heroin. He tried heroin on a plane. Which is, I don't know.
What you do?
Is that what you do?
Sure,
is that what
yeah.
you do? I don't know about these things. And apparently he had the worst time in the world on heroin. And he wrote a song about this.
I think it's weird that he's blaming the heroin. It could have been the plane.
It could have been the plane. It could have been turbulence.
Yeah, it could have been turbulence.
Millions of people have wonderful
air pockets.
Air pockets.
All right. That's what they thought they were in the 80s, right? Air pockets?
Right.
Yeah.
Millions of people have had great experiences on the heroin.
It's much safer than driving. Statistically.
I don't know why he hasn't been sued.
And the bendy George Martin string arrangement out of Yellow Submarine. Oh my gosh, a stereo effect that swipes from left to right in the spectrum. My God, so innovative.
So innovative. You,
in 1980 freaking two.
And we were flying over Scandinavian skies.
Yeah.
We climbed towards the sun.
Oh, okay, I can't even.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. What else should we listen to?
Yeah,
there's this
anything
stupid
else?
Surprises song.
Surprises, which is about almost losing his thumb in a motorcycle accident.
No. Pronounce it correctly. It's a motorcycle accident. Okay, I had a motorcycle accident.
Motorcycle. A lady ran a red light, and she smashed into me, and I. You know, surprise, I don't have hands now.
And it shouldn't surprise you at all.
Freaking,
you
I mean,
know.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Like, it's break not, why has he never said, like, this was just my, like, Beatles tribute album? Is he really that, does he really lack self-awareness that much?
What gets me also is that he goes from different idea and theme. There's no unity in the album. It goes from song to song. So, like, if you look at Allentown and this song, they should not be on the same album.
No.
It's not the same thought. It's not the same. He's not using the studio space in the same way.
He's not exploring that space anymore.
Yeah. It's very fragmented. There's no, like, unity. And that just sort of... I don't know. It just maybe speaks to his just disjointed musicalness.
Well, he was on the heroin.
He was on the heroin.
He was on H.
He was on H.
So this is a good opportunity for us to talk about his motorcycle accident.
Yes, it is.
Because this is a really important moment in his life that I was reading. So this is when his marriage to Elizabeth is coming apart. Mm. And by the way, I now feel a little bit bad for... talking about all his misogynistic writing, because I was reading and like Elizabeth really was a major B.
Really?
Super big B. Because I guess I just always assumed that like she was just like the classic, like the rocker's first wife, you know, who he just, you know, married when he wasn't anybody. And then once he became somebody, he traded her in for a younger model. Mm. But in fact, she left him, at least according to one telling of the story. But yeah, she was actually this extremely domineering personality. So she was married to drummer John Smalls, Johnny Smalls,
right? From Attila.
From Attira. who is under the boardwalk at Jones Beach right now with the needle in his arm.
Right.
By the way, when
exploring Scandinavian skies.
Exactly. When Billy moved in and stole Elizabeth away, little known fact, freaking John Small and Elizabeth had a kid. A freaking baby son.
Oh, wow.
Billy Joel has a stepson. Okay. He never talks about this, never writes about this.
No.
There was a freaking kid living in the house this whole time. Okay. Which, by the way, like, how self-absorbed are you that that doesn't end up being something that you write about?
Right, right. You know? Yeah. Being a dad for the first time.
So anyways, there's a kid throughout all of this. All of this messed up shit that's been going on. There's a kid in the house. Okay.
Odd.
So anyways, actually, I don't know that. Maybe the kid was living with John.
I can't see the kid living with John, though.
He was the drummer. I mean,
he was the drummer.
Are the courts really going to send a kid to go live with a drummer? Right?
I've seen episodes of The Muppets, and if animal is any indicator right. of how drummers usually are, then no, a child should not be around that.
Have you seen Liberty DeVito drum?
I have.
And he looks just like Animal, like the arms. He looks like his arms are on like wires, and they're just, you know.
And there was a video where he was standing up and drumming. Like, I can't remember what video it was, but it was a shot of Billy playing
the piano.
It
was My Life, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Liberty was standing up and playing the drums and sort of like, look at me, look at me.
Because it's like I was, so like Freddie's got a puppet. My son Freddie has a puppet. And I was like, I was playing with a puppet with him the other day because he's finally old enough to like process that. And I was noticing that like when you manipulate a puppet, and this is relevant, I swear, when you manipulate a puppet, it the movements are much bigger than you think they are. So like You make movements
you
with your fingers. You have to be
your
subtle. Otherwise, it really just doesn't look natural or anything like that at all. I mean, just like normal hand movements look like completely insane things when translated through the medium of the puppet.
Right. Because a talking frog is, you know, the most subtle thing.
Exactly. That's right. So I think that's why, like, you know, Muppet's arms are just always going, whoa. And that's what Liberty DeVito looks like when he's playing drums. It just looks like somebody has got those arms at the ends of wires and is just, you know. Anyways, solid pod right there.
Solid pod, man.
Solid pod.
We are on
what
it.
What the fuck are we talking about? We were talking about, the motorcycle act.
Oh, yes.
And Elizabeth. Okay.
Yeah. So Elizabeth was a bee, but she had a kid.
But she was like, she was this very like domineering personality. She was this, and she apparently like really took to the rock and roll lifestyle much more than Billy did. And she like the person in the lady in the Halston dress is totally Elizabeth. Like she like loved the money and, you know, getting coked up and all of that stuff. And she was managing him and, you know, handling all of his money, which meant that she was taking a cut, like some 25% or something off of everything.
Wow. She was another Artie.
On top of the fact that she's his wife, so she's already getting 50% of everything, right?
Sometimes 75, right, guys? It's a stupid joke. Women.
You know how they are.
God, worst.
The worst.
The worst.
Always stealing your money and breaking your thumbs.
And breaking your thumbs.
So that's actually not what happened. He did have a motorcycle accident. And then apparently what happened, at least according to Billy's telling, was that like they had been talking about getting a divorce or something like that. And he's in the hospital on pain meds and all, you know, hopped up on goofballs. And she comes in with like a contract and says, okay, sign this contract. And it was like, you know, to give her all the money or something like that.
Oh,
and he was just like, you know, I'm not stupid enough to like sign something like this when I'm high. And you're terrible for, you know, trying to exploit me in that way. And it's really kind of over now.
Oh, gosh. There are a lack of Elizabeth songs other on this album. I mean, Laura, which I assume is
about the sister.
Yeah. But there is no like Elizabeth here.
No, exactly.
Which is kind of a glaring absence. So something must be pretty bad. He hasn't had a chance. Maybe that's why he spent so much time in the studio.
That's really exploring the
really
space.
Really exploring the space was just to get away from the old ball and chain.
I could be wrong. Don't get me wrong. You can speak your mind, but I
revisiting the Joel Power Rankings.
Yeah.
Power Rankings.
At the moment, we have glass houses above the stranger, which I still can't believe I assented to that.
Yeah, I think that was all you.
No, that was you.
No, I don't think it was. Let's re-listen. I don't think it was.
All right. Well, regardless, where are we putting the curtain?
Irregardless.
Did I say irregardless?
No, oh. I did. I say it's on par with 52nd Street. I know there are some really solid singles on this, but it's just not...
I'm inclined to put it above 52nd and beneath Stranger.
Okay.
Because I just think, I mean, I really think that on the strength of Allentown and Pressure alone, it's a better record than 52nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm comfortable putting it at number three right now, if you are.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sold. Now, looking ahead, we mentioned that Joel gets his divorce during this record, which paves the way for...
Christy Brinkley!
Oh, my God! The Christy album is coming up!
Christy Brinkley!
Yeah, so this album is called Innocent Man, and it has...
We got some really solid songs on this. We have
solid year.
Tell Her About It, Uptown Girl, Longest Time. He gets back into his doo-wop phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, social commentary? Fuck it.
No. I am dating a supermodel.
Exactly. That's right. Let me show you where my priorities really lie.
Exactly. Let Springsteen talk about, you know, the farm workers in California not getting paid. I'm dating a supermodel.
Is that where the farm workers are?
Yes.
Is that what Springsteen wrote about?
That was just sort of Mad Libs.
The people with the dirty jeans. Whoever's got the dirty jeans on.
It's a musician plus social thing plus location.
Mm.
So that's how that worked out. The Mad Libs.
I'm so excited to talk about this album.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay,
so Billy's Words of Wisdom. Mm. So this one's from Laura.
Laura.
She always says on the best friend she's ever had, how do you hang up on somebody who needs you that bad? Who hasn't had a friend like that?
Who hasn't been having phone sex?
It's about his sister, man. But I think he does have some very interesting women in his life. You know,
maybe it was Lars Ulrich who was on the phone and not Joel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for listening to this particularly voluminous edition of the program. I'm Adam Ragusea, and except for Pressure, I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I do. Hey, you got thoughts on Christy and on her shiny fuck hair? Let us know on Twitter. Use the hashtag JoelHole. We can also talk about Christy. Adam,
I thought you said Chinese fuck hair.
What kind of product is that? I thought this was a mission trip.
Meg on Twitter is at Donahue Meg.
Adam on Twitter is at A Ragusea.
This podcast that we're doing is just for yucks, just for the kids. It's something we're doing for the children.
Because everybody needs to know about the Joel.
Mm. We're not making any money, so please don't try to get any from us. Also, we're totally within our fair use rights to be using this material, so go away.
And actually, there are businesses we probably brought up as our sponsors, but they're not actually our sponsors.
Nope.
We were just kidding.
We're just joshing, y'all.
Gino's Palace of Hair, that I think we probably talked about. Yeah. Thank you. And we didn't take any money from them, so we don't owe them anything.
You gotta land this airplane here, Meg. Gotta land it.
I just totally stuck the landing with a good old... Da 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 boom da la 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 boom 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 ching ching bang bang what's up ching 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 bang 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 everybody does drums.